Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation and such. So we'll start with a comment on the bullet, Newton's cradle kind of video, and I will attempt to tie that to other conversation regarding kinetic energy and the experiments that you can do to weed out the truth about what is possible in this universe that we exist in, and how we acquire this understanding of the truth even. All right. So this guy writes, the bullet did not have any upward momentum to give the steel ball, so how does the bullet know to go down and the metal ball knows to go up without energy coming from somewhere? So as I've already pointed out, you can change something's direction really easily. I just make a curved slope and I'll lose a tiny, tiny percentage of the energy and I can change something's direction. So the lever is a perfect example. I can make something go in the opposite direction, right? And I'll lose a tiny, tiny fraction of the energy. You know, lots of ways to do it, all right? Bouncing a tennis ball off a brick wall. I mean, clearly you're just reversing the direction of the energy and substantially you can conserve an awful lot of the energy. So changing something's direction is not energy intensive. It just isn't, okay? So you have to understand that. If you don't understand that, then, you know, there's no point in having this conversation. So, I mean, it was obvious, and as I pointed out in the video, the bullet was much lower than the center of mass of the objects it was hitting. It was way below the center. Obviously, they're round objects, okay? Hit a round object with something below the center of its mass, it's obviously going to go up in a direction, okay? Because the energy is going to be imposed in that direction, because that's where the impact is happening, in that direction. So, I mean, that's just so obvious. It's like, if I have to explain this kind of crap to you, you're really not up to the conversation. I mean, you're really boldly going where you have no business going, you know, because you're way short of any kind of mechanical knowledge to even ask the question. So he says, I don't have any evidence, but the only thing the energy could come from is the metal ball themselves. So I don't even know what that means. You know, you have to explain where it comes from. It can come from it if it's dynamite and you hit it and it explodes. Okay, you can explain where it came from. But in all of these examples of collisions, the objects don't have any momentum to give. You're not going to reduce them into a nuclear bomb. You're not going to, you know, be able to extract energy from them, all right? So all you're doing is having an interaction where they're going to exchange whatever momentum, linear movement through space they have. And they can't do something there's no energy to make happen. It can't come from nowhere, so it's a terrible example. This goes back to Walter Lewin's air track experiment, you deny. I deny that it's possible that free energy is accessible to us. We've had enough technology for the last 150 years that if there was any free energy around, especially oil is $4 a gallon, what kind of game are you playing with me? You know, talking about like, oh yeah, it's real. No, it isn't real. It can't happen. All right. So if somebody does an experiment and they make it happen, they create free momentum, more momentum in the universe. Well, yeah, it's easy to deny that. So I deny it for damn good reasons. You're saying I'm denying it merely because I don't like Professor Lewin or something? I played watching 45 of his lectures, hour-long lectures. I obviously have nothing personal against him. What I found out, though, is that his lectures are basically just copies of the lectures that were given in 1965, that the experiments are exactly the same. I thought he was being kind of original when he did these different experiments he did, you know, shooting little monkeys off of sticks and doing, I thought they were original experiments, but no, they were all done back in the 60s. They're MIT experiments. They're not Professor Lewin experiments. So that was disappointing. But anyway, I deny it for good reasons, and you're pretending I don't have a good reason. Okay, and so this goes to the despair, whatever his name, Despair fuckhead, okay, this lying sack of smelly, shitty shit, okay, who, you know, I mean, frankly, I have no reason to have anything personal against, except, yeah, he's just being freaking obnoxious. And, you know, so he says right in here, but to slander and deny every scientist experiment in the world. So you're the one denying, as I pointed out. So you haven't quoted a single fucking thing I've said in any of your videos. All right. And you haven't argued any of what I've said in any of these videos. None of it. You're just, and here you are commenting on a board that's covered in lies. Hundreds of lies. Literally 100 lies. Can you extract from this fucking pile of shit, okay, on this message board you're participating in and congratulating people on, can you extract a paragraph of rational physics? Again, there's a video right at the bottom, the link that hasn't been commented on, where the guy's linking to a fucking video that says peppers are magnetic and cause perpetual motion. Why aren't you commenting, saying, well, why is this ridiculous crap in the middle of this conversation? No, you don't do anything. You're participating in slander, you fucking slanderer. And that's what, you know, to accuse me of slander? No. All right, so it says, but to slander and deny every... So again, I haven't slandered anybody. I've made the direct accusation that I'm willing to pay Professor Lewin $3,000 to answer the questions. All right, I'm sitting here offering science $3,000 to defend itself against my accusations. Yes, I'm saying the Eddington experiment was shit. I'm saying Professor Lewin's experiment was shit. It proves something that's impossible to be true. You cannot make free momentum. It's ludicrously stupid. Okay, if you believe it's possible, you're an idiot. That's not my fault. That's not making me into a slanderer because I know as a fact there's no free fucking energy. Again, and if there is, you idiot, you fucking moron, I've already declared that I invented it first, okay? So, I mean, I'm going to own the copyright to it. But, yeah, and even in spite of that, in spite of the trillions of dollars that's at stake, why wouldn't I be totally invested in figuring out the free energy patent on kinetic energy? The kinetic energy is a free energy theory, and I can exploit it for trillions of dollars in royalties. Why would I still fight against it if I had, oh, I can make trillions of dollars? But that's how much I know it's not fucking true. Okay, there's no hope that these experiments have any credibility because they're physically impossible. So it's just like, I've made the example. So you'd say that somebody's a slanderer if he stands up when a magician's doing his trick and he says, hey, he's tricking us. You, that's slander in your book, you fucking moron. No, that's an accusation. I'm making an accusation that, yes, they did something wrong. Okay, I've made the accusations about Brozo's experiments, and every one of those accusations is a legitimate accusation. His fucking goddamn... I pointed out to you that his fucking cart is moving 3/4 of the fucking pushing speed, for fuck's sake. You put no energy in, nothing. You just set the cart on the track, and it's moving 3/4 of the goddamn velocity already, without even touching it. You don't understand how that's energy in? That's free energy then? Shit for brain? You think that's a credible fucking experiment? When I'm a slanderer if I dare to say, well, that's a pile of shit. And then we've pointed out in all these videos the flaws in them. You're the one denying all the flaws, right? You're just sitting here and pretending, no, there's no flaw. I mean, I showed the frame rate on the other fucking video, and this comment came an hour ago. We've seen that video. What, you think that's a lie? I clearly could pick a section of the video frames and point out it's 5 and 10. Okay, clear. No doubt about it. How is that 2/3 the velocity, shit for brain? Well, it obviously isn't. And you're going to call me a slanderer because, yeah, I found the defect in the video? That the fucking frame rate, the video doesn't match what's on the timer? Clearly doesn't match. The two don't match. That's my fault. I pointed out to you the Professor Lewin video in his own fucking hour-long video. You respond to this fucking point in his own video, okay? The second time he does the experiment, same fucking experiment. The carts are supposed to stick together and they don't. They bounce off of each other. Literally bounce off of each other, just like there was a spring. They bounce. He uses the word bounce. Okay, it doesn't really bounce in the opposite direction, but it doesn't really matter. Point is the two-mass cart didn't go flying off at 2/3 the velocity. The math says it should have. Spring or no spring, we respond to this point. Spring or no spring, the math says, okay, the cart should create this two-third effect. So has Brozo done it without a spring? The magic spring? So you think springs make free energy? Oh, you fucking scum. All right, so I'll finish this sentence, but it's just so irritating for this fucker to say he has he's unbiased when he's clearly showing his bias. In the world that proves, okay, the contrary is just dishonest. So when I'm proven right, what's going to be, how are you going to reclamate this statement? How are you going to, what are you going to say? Oh, yeah, I called you dishonest for, you know, basically saving us from stupidity. I mean, your accusation is gutless, turdy shit. You're just talking shit. All right? You have no, you admit you have, in this very comment, he admits he has no qualifications. He doesn't understand any of this shit. He's some sort of musician. You know, and he's making these kinds of accusations. The fact is, I will be proven right, retard. Okay, that's going to happen. So prepare your fucking apology, jackass. But it won't mean anything because all this damage gets done. You fucking piler-oners, you fucking go-alongers. You're the whole fucking problem with this fucking planet. You talk shitters. You have no knowledge of the subject. You have nothing to bring to the table. You can't diagram a fucking lever for fucking sake. A fucking stick sitting on a rock. And you can't diagram how it fucking goddamn works. And you're going to call other people names? Fuck you. And you're going to do it on this board full of fucking lies? I hope I can do you the same favor someday. I hope your someday, your orchestration, your beautiful music is put on trial somewhere. And yeah, I can jump on the guy slandering the fuck out of you. And I can talk about what a jackass and you know, how a tone deaf you are. How you wouldn't know a good note from a bad note, you fucking retard. I'll shove this crap right up your own ass. You fucking piece of shit. Talk about how you're an unbiased observer. Fuck you are. You're a slandering, turdy troll. All right. So enough of that. All right. So there's a Brozo comment here. Ah, here it is. So he's talking some sort of shit about the perpetual motion machine somehow can't work. And it's completely indecipherable. So there's just absolutely no point in me trying to deal with any of it. He's talking about time, how much time it takes it to hit the lever, and then it bounces, and all kinds of crap. And it's just that, and that somehow the lever, because the lever has to be tied to something, yeah, that's how levers work, and the more firm the fulcrum is, that is, the more firmly it's tied, the more less it wobbles, the more guaranteed you are to keep all the energy in the lever. Because it all ends up just being a reflection, just like gravity pushing you into the ground and you get pushed back the same amount. Yeah, it's the same idea. The energy goes in and it comes right back the fuck out, retard. Oh, you really are retarded. All right, so we will attempt to explain the lever again. Oh, because you people are so stupid. But let's see, Despard, will you actually address a single point made on the subject? Or will you just lie about what I've said and what I'm doing here? You fucking piece of shit. All right. So, camera. I mean, you're capable of making... Brozo can't do this for whatever reason. He's too retarded, okay? He can't figure out how to make a drawing of a lever and explain to us how it does this kinetic energy thing and it conserves kinetic energy. You know, he can't show us how that works. Okay? Now, you've shown some skill, like you could put yourself in the screen and you could have some other screen. You could maybe even draw or do something, show pictures, do something. So why don't you explain it, you fuckhead? Why don't you explain why it's unreasonable for me to say free energy is impossible? Why don't you explain how the Pepper experiment that the other jerk linked to, why don't you show how that's real physics? That peppers really are magnetic. All right. So, to get to the first guy's comment, right? Obviously, if I had pointed objects, you could sort of understand. If I shot something, say these are all the same thing, they're all hard metal, and they all have these sloped edges. Well, what do we think would happen if I shot 100 joules of energy at these two objects and they have the same exact mass? What do we think is going to happen? I think we can pretty much guarantee that there's going to be 50 joules going this way, and there's going to be 50 joules going this way, right? It's not going to be complicated at all. Now, if I made this a two mass, are you idiots really going to believe? I mean, you're really going to believe that there's going to be 130 joules going this way? I only put 100 in. I'm going to get 130 going that way, and I'm going to get 30 going this way. 33. Okay, let's put the little extra 30 in, little threes. So I go in with 100. Now, so if I have two equal-sized objects, I'm only going to get 100 joules back. But somehow if I put uneven masses in, I'm going to get all this extra energy. You really think that has some hope of being the truth? That this magical unevenness in the mass will just create more and more energy. So the more uneven I make the two masses, the more extra energy I'll make. I mean, what's the theory? I can go all the way to 200 joules here, right? So if I put the right thing, I'll get zero here, and I'll get 200 coming out that side. So if I make the masses uneven enough, you really think that's going to happen. And you think I'm some sort of slandering cheap shot artist or something because I'm arguing anybody who says that's what's going to happen is wrong. And if they say they have an experiment proving it, it's bullshit. Because it can't happen. If it was that simple, again, we would all have one already. The Wright brothers would have invented it. Okay, we would have had it for 100 years or more. We would have had it for 400 years. We would have had it for the last 1,000 years if it was that simple. Idiot, moron, retard. All right, so I'll erase. All right, I'm back. Okay, so there's the... In collisions, the simple one is okay, you have two things with the same mass, right? If they have the same mass and they hit each other in the Newton's cradle, you get all the energy that this thing has, this one takes. So it's a complete transfer of the energy. Not extra energy, just the energy went in. 100 goes in, 99.999999 comes out. And then it gets complicated when the things aren't the same size. So if you have a small thing hitting a big thing... Let's do the big thing hitting a small thing first, right? We have this idea that somehow when the big thing hits into the little thing, like a car hitting a person, that the person flies off. Well, that really doesn't happen. What really happens if this is going 30 miles an hour, it gets the person up to 30 miles an hour, okay? They start going as fast as the thing that hit them. Going faster doesn't really happen unless you go in with some energy. So if this person, if it's a head-on collision, you go in with 30 miles an hour, you can be bounced back at 60. You know, it's you can bounce then. But you don't do that, generally speaking. If a train hits you, you're not going to fly off the train, okay? What you're going to basically do is just slide off it. That's why there's a cow catcher. There's not a cow bouncer, right? If it was just bouncing, then they'd have a cow bouncer. They wouldn't have a cow catcher that just sort of diverts the cow. You know, it's a pointy thing. You know, so if the cow gets hit, it goes this way, or the cow goes this way. If they could just bounce the cow out of the way, then they'd just bounce it up in the air, right, over the train or something, right? You know, come on. So it doesn't work. The point is that the big thing hits the small thing, like the bowling ball hits the bowling pin, right? Well, that's what it's going to do. It's going to transfer a portion of its energy. It's going to give this velocity, whatever it is, 30, to this. And this has a smaller mass, so it's going to take that much momentum away from this. So whatever momentum this has, say it started with 130, and it gives 30 away, well, then it's going to leave the interaction with 100 left. And then it's going to hit another pin, and then it's going to be down to 70, and blah, 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 blah. And it's going to be less than, it's going to lose less than the second pin because its velocity is going to be less. So it can't give the pin as much. The second pin it hits only going to have 25 joules, and this one had 30 joules. And it's going to decrease with each pin because the velocity has decreased, but the mass of the pin's always the same. So you can understand these things. But then, the light object into the heavy one, the problem is the amount of time, right? Time is the factor because what you have to do is move all of the atoms in the object. The big object can't leave until all the atoms are saying, I'm ready. Okay, so they all have to know about the fact that they're going somewhere. And they all have to agree on it. okay? And essentially, I mean, the majority of them have to start moving before they can drag the rest of them along with them, or however you want to look at it. The force has to equalize into the whole object before it can go. So this is coming in at a high velocity, small mass, big velocity. And the problem is this big mass can't just go a very fast velocity. It can only go a slow velocity, right? I mean, to consume the 100 joules, this goes, you know, if this is going 10 miles an hour and this is half the mass, then this is going to, you know, twice the mass, then this can only go 5. And so it's doing that conversion, essentially. But the problem is it's time. There's not enough time. This is going fast, and it's getting the reflection back through here before this object has decided to leave. And the reflection essentially just pushes this thing away. So there's not enough time. It's not applying the pressure over enough time to start this to move. It's like if you did have a lever, you got a little fulcrum here, and you're trying to, you know, you're using 100 pounds of weight here, okay, 100 pounds of pressure, and then you want to create your 900 pounds here, right? And maybe the rock is 1,000 pounds. And so it's just not, you need more time to be able to slowly move that rock, because you're going to try to move it a half of a mile an hour, right? But you can't move it 1 mile an hour. You have to do it a half a mile. So you have to give it more time. So you have to apply the pressure for a longer period of time. And then you'll feel the bounce. You know, you'll feel some bouncing and wobbliness in it, because it's not quite enough pressure to get it to move. And it takes some time. You have to apply the pressure for a longer period of time to get the big rock to move. All right, so that's enough of that. All right, so as I have repeatedly stated, the lever is the core to this thing. You want that one thing that'll solve the whole thing, get rid of the whole controversy, dispense with it, solve the problem, answer all the questions. You just need to go to the lever. The lever is the go-to device. Because it has the Newton's cradle built right into it. It has the whole, all these questions about the differences between hitting big things into little things and little things into big things, and all of the irregularities, and the fact that the same thing makes it really easy. If they're the same mass, it's a completely efficient transfer. Different masses, it's not so efficient. You know, the transfer is going to be messed up. All right. But the lever can make any of them happen. Okay, and make it happen perfectly. And so it's just about the distance on the lever. All right. And it can do perfect conversions, but they're perfect conversions. Or you can have an imperfect one. And so the minute you have an imperfect one, you'll get, that's when you can have bounce. That's when you can have something hit and bounce off the lever, because you've put the weights in the wrong place. But the idea is that it is just about weight. Momentum is weight. And all you're saying is that you can change the weight factor. You know, this has 2x the weight. Whatever weight you put on it, it's 2x here. It's 3x out here. It's 4x out here. And that's all you're really saying. So this is 1x and 1x, right? And this is 2x. And all you're saying is whatever you put here will weigh twice as much. It'll be able to apply twice as much pressure here that it could that you put here. And it's just about, as I've pointed out, the distance the object is moving at these locations. So it moves half the distance in the same time here, twice the distance here, three times the distance here. And so it's just a matter of doing the conversion. So if I put the half mass, okay, the 0.5 mass here, all right, and I put the two, you know, the full mass here, it's kind of obvious that that's a perfect match. Now if I put it here, put the half mass here, it's not a perfect match. And so now we're going to get back to some uneven collision. And so there's every probability that when I drop this and expect it to move this, that it can't do a complete conversion. That some of the energy will go this way, or some of the energy will go in some other direction. It'll be split up between the two. This will get part of the energy into this, but only part of it. And the other part has to go somewhere. And where can it go? It really can't go this way. It has to go this way. So it will bounce off the lever. So it's just about, you know, if you get the right positions, then you're perfectly balanced. And that's all you're talking about. So if you're lifting a rock and say it weighed the 900 pounds, All right, the ideal to move it is to create the perfect amount. So if it's 9 notches, if I have 100 pounds here, I'll be just right for creating the balance, lifting the rock. You know, but if I try to put too much pressure in here, if I have, you know, 150, and so now I have 1500, okay, it's going to be harder to get all the energy into the object because now I have the time problem again. And if I have less than, you know, if I only have 90, it's not enough pressure to lift the rock. So again, I'm going to have a bouncing problem. I'm going to have a hard time getting the energy in because I don't have enough pressure to move the other object at all. I can't get it to move. Therefore, all my energy has to be stifled. It's pushed back the opposite way. The lever bends and pushes back because this won't yield. I can't get the energy into it because it takes more time. Well, it takes essentially more pressure than I'm actually applying. I can't lift it against gravity. Gravity's pushing down harder, okay, than my force I'm applying, and therefore my force has to be rejected. So it's like me pushing on the Empire State Building, all of my energy in, okay, is almost just going to get pushed back. Right, the building's not going to say, the building's not going to take in two times the energy or any of that nonsense. And so this is, you know, when you completely misinterpret, you know, Professor Lewin's video. I mean, to just point out in the end, well, how can you possibly explain that I have a certain amount of 100 momentums here and 200 momentums go into the building? Well, of course, yeah, that doesn't make any sense because it doesn't really happen. The same 100 you started with just reflected off the building and came right back at you. You just bent the lever and pushed you back again. The building went this way and then it went back this way and gave you back what you pushed in. Just like the Earth is pushing you back up. So again, I don't understand Brozo's weirdo, strangeo, bizarro claim that somehow either I or Toadie has suggested creating levers that aren't attached to the Earth. Yeah, of course they're attached to the Earth. All right, so maybe we'll do the perpetual motion machine one more time. But I mean, the simple argument is, let's just get this out of here. You know, just makes a mess out of things. It's just about the weight. So that's, you know, this lever is used as a scale. You know, there's actual scales where you just move the weights to these different locations, okay, to find out how much this weighs with much smaller weights. So you can use little, you know, 2 kilograms worth of weights to measure something that weighs 15 kilograms. Because you can move them on the lever and take advantage of the fact that it's 3 times the weight, 4 times the weight, 5 times the weight. You know, so you can weigh a 150-pound person with a bunch of, you know, with a total of 5 kilograms worth of little weights and just move them around on the lever. Yeah. So that's the point is that, you know, so if this falls, if I drop this at the higher velocity, there's no chance it will bounce. So I do this with 2x the velocity, all right? So this one comes down with 2x the velocity, and it's half the mass. This sees it as if it was exactly this. So Brozo or you will never answer this question, that if you pushed on a lever that and I put a one mass here, and then I switched it, and I put a half mass here, and you couldn't see which one was there. There was a wall, and you couldn't see what was on the other side of the lever. There's no way from you pushing on it that you could tell the difference between this and this. They would weigh exactly the same. They would feel exactly the same. They would push just the same. Everything about them would be exactly the same because the lever itself moves exactly the same no matter which object I put on this side. If I put the one mass object here, every atom in the lever moves exactly the same as if I put the half mass out here. Exactly the same motion. Nothing changes. For every single atom in the lever, it's exactly the same thing. Can't be told. There's no sensor you could put on the lever to tell that there's a 5 mass instead of a 1 mass, a half mass, and a full mass. Nothing. Will you respond to these arguments, or will you just pretend they haven't been made? And there's no way you can create any extra momentum here. You can't put 100 on one side of the lever and get 200 out, and that's exactly what their theory says. I put 100 joules in here, okay, in this heavy object. I drop the heavy object here. I put the small mass on. I get 200 joules. I put the heavy mass here. Even though the lever behaves exactly the same, the lever moves exactly the same, this object, that object, all of a sudden this is only 100 joules. How is that possible? And if I put a one-third mass here, out here, I'm going to get 300 joules. You say there is a chance that's correct. That's what you're saying, right? And you're calling other people liars and slanders for saying, no, there's no chance that's correct. There's no possibility that's a truth. Nobody could collect this energy. It doesn't exist. It's a phantom. And exactly the opposite, it proves why it's a lie and why it's just nonsense. Because if I do exactly the opposite, I lose a quarter. So if I drop the one-third mass, okay, I'm out here, three notches out on the lever, with exactly 100 joules, your theory says, okay, I'm only going to get 30 here. That's it. I'm going to lose 3 times 33. I'm going to lose energy. So one way you lose all the energy, the other way you get free energy. You can't see how that's obviously because the frickin' equation is wrong, that 1/2 mv squared is absolute nonsense. Again, I've told you the history. Again, you're going to call me a slanderer and a liar when I've told you the history? They can't even replicate her experiments. You know, the woman who popularized this horse shit. I mean, Brozo couldn't do the clay experiments and duplicate her results. The other experiments, no one's duplicated it. I mean, the sand ones are pretty easy to duplicate because it's a stupid way of measuring how much energy something has. It's just measure how far the particles go away. So instead of measuring how many particles are moved, you just measure who pushed a particle the furthest. You know, that's sort of cheating, isn't it? That's like the 1,000 times more atoms, you know, moving 1,000 times slower. And then you have, you know, one atom moving 1,000 times faster. And you say somehow the one atom moving 1,000 times faster has 1,000 times more energy than the other 1,000 atoms moving 1,000 times slower, which is illogical and stupid. They have the same energy. It's just a small number of atoms moving very fast has different effects. So you won't deal with any of this. So you won't sit there and draw a lever and then explain how it works and explain how the lever can tell the difference. I put a one mass here. I put a one mass here. I put a half mass here. Explain how the lever knows the difference between this and this. Explain how that's possible. How the lever will in any way react any differently when all that's going to happen is the same exact distances are going to be moved at these locations. When the half mass is here, this part of the lever will move exactly the same speed and amount as it moved when the half mass was here. When the full mass was here. They'll move exactly the same. It can't tell the difference. That's why it balances perfectly with the half mass over here and the full mass here. It balances perfectly. Because it can't tell the difference. Because it is the same thing. It will behave exactly the same and you cannot deny it. This amount of energy, the 100 joules, will create 100 joules over here. There will not be more energy created. It's exactly the same energy. The half mass moving twice the speed has exactly the same energy. The same momentum. Momentum worked for Galileo, Descartes, and Newton. Momentum gets right answers. Momentum never fails to get a right answer. You don't have a single experiment you can show me where momentum fails to get a right answer, except the very experiments I'm saying obviously are crap. So again, just work on your whatever your apology is going to be, because obviously I'm not slandering when I'm right. Okay, you can't be right and a slanderer. I'm not getting the right answer for the wrong reason. It's not going to be a mistake when I'm proven right that I was accidentally right. I've given you the arguments of why I'm right. Those arguments are sound and solid, and you haven't dented them, you haven't tarnished them, you haven't diminished them, you haven't done a damn thing to respond to a single one of them. That free momentum is free energy, and it's ludicrous to think it's possible. You haven't done anything to dent that argument, and yet you'll accuse me of being wrong, okay, and being illegitimately wrong. I don't have a right to have my opinion. I don't have a right to assert what I think are the facts. They're the only possible answer to the question. How did the magician do it? He tricked you, you idiot. That's how he did it. He didn't pull any real rabbit walking down, you know, sitting there in, you know, the field somewhere, you know, in Teletubby land. He didn't pull that rabbit out of his hat. You idiot. You dupe. You slanderer. All right. I'm not being at all dishonest. I'm saying I honestly understand that it's a stupid theory. It has an incredible beginning. It has incredible evidence. It has nothing at all going for it as a theory. It's a frickin' religion and nothing more. And you're sitting here defending it and calling anybody who attacks your sacred religion a liar. Well, fuck you. You sack of shit, trolly piece of crap, endorsing what is a page covered in lies. The entire fucking 300 comments, and not one of them on the subject, not one of them saying anything that's factually accurate. You're defending that, shithead. Your name is on that, shithead. And again, I'll, you know, be my pleasure to do you the same favor someday, fuckhead. So anyway. Enough said. Not that revenge solves anything, but fuck. You know, the guilty must be punished. Just a fact. And you're guilty of being an asshole, a shit-talking, bandwagon-riding moron. You know nothing about the subject, yet you're qualified to make a decision and put your quarter in their machine. Fuck you for that. Yeah, fuck you. All right, enough of a video. So till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. This has been a draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also, but these cowards can't manage a debate. They can't manage to play my description of how the lever works, Despar, and explain how I'm inaccurate, how I've made a terrible, catastrophic error, how my judgment is clouded and perverted by my petty resentment for Professor Lewin's, you know, plastic donut badge. Why don't you explain how I'm fucking wrong about anything I said, shit for brain, before you call me a liar or call me dishonest, you fuck.